you can you can say, okay, well, I don't have any questions. You can say, you have the right to say, okay, I don't have any questions. And then you can just sign off on that. But we offered you the opportunity to say, giving you the chance to go ahead and consult with the pharmacist and take this treatment. So I just sort of think about how we should consult.
And you can't say, well, so-and-so took it and it was okay for them. You know, and he did okay. You didn't have your condition. You can't just say because somebody else did, you know, that God says okay. You know, God said it's okay for them. That's for him, between that person and God. If God is allowing them to do it, people have the problem with this at liberty. That's, don't worry about that. What's he saying to you? If he didn't tell you, then, you know, it's just like saying, well, you need to sue his doctor because his doctor said it was okay for him to take that medicine. When I took it, it made me sick. I ended up in the emergency room. Well, you didn't consult his doctor either. It's not your doctor. So you have to have your own consultation with God about things that you're gonna do. You can't go by somebody else did it, it's okay. They're okay. You know, they're prospering. They did this, you know. They got rich, they played the lottery. You know, God said, maybe you're gonna lose your house. You don't follow somebody else.
When we look at this passage of scripture and the response, did David have the wrong idea?
No.
About what to do?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not in the what to do, but his limitation to how to do the what to do.
But he wasn't necessarily thinking it was something wrong. His heart was in the right place. He's looking at his blessings, and he's like, the fact that automatically he's thinking, what can we do for God? Let's build him a house. His heart's in the right place. It's Nathan who's supposed to be telling him yes or no. Nathan kind of got caught up in it. But David, the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. So what's his next thought? What can we do for God? I mean, he had that big celebration. He's just sitting down and his blessings. He's like, first idea, let's build a house for God. That was not a bad thought.
It was an idea. It wasn't necessarily a bad idea. It was an idea that he didn't get, God didn't sign off on it. And he didn't ask Nathan, really. You read it, he just said, Nathan, his idea is something I want to do. Nathan, so he didn't ask him. He didn't say, ask God, you know, see if this is okay. He didn't ask him. He just said it. So then neither one of them are really, they're just thinking, you know, David wants to do something for God, you know, and they're all in the, you know, in the spirit of this and worship and, you know, praising God and all. Well, let's do this for God. He just said, this is what I want to do. He didn't ask Nathan what God thought, and Nathan didn't tell him about it. Nathan said, you do all what's in your heart. But the interesting thing to me is God didn't rebuke Nathan. He just came back and told him. Once he's told what to tell Nathan, when he tells him what to tell David, he doesn't say, well, you know, I thought he didn't make any excuses or anything. Oh, now he's fine.
We're seeing a picture of how it's supposed to be. You do what's in your heart towards God, and even when everybody's in the high praise, everybody's in this high good state of mind, everybody's happy worshiping and everything. But even in that state, if you're not consulting God, you may have the what together, you may have the where together, you may have the why together. But we can see right here they didn't have the how together. And they didn't have the who together.
Right.
So if you're in your passion and in your emotion, when you're moving towards God and doing what you think is right towards God, you may still be wrong altogether. You know, because look at God's reaction. God did not rebuke Nathan. Even when he came back and told him, go tell David he's not going to build a house, and I'm going to give you leprosy. He didn't do that. He didn't tell David your days would be short. As we read through the rest of the chapter, there is a promise that comes with this. God's almost saying, you know what, David, I wish you could, but you're not going to be the one to do it. Right. You know, and then he tells David who is going to do it. So we see here that God actually honored their zeal. He honored their commitment to do right by him, even though the who wasn't right and the how wasn't right. So God gives the correction. And look, nobody got an attitude. Nobody got upset. We see a picture here of how it's supposed to be, how you can make a mistake when you really got your heart in the right place. And then the reaction that comes from God, and then the reaction of the people who find out, hey, you weren't right. Nobody's angry. Nobody's throwing stuff down. Nobody's, you know, pitching a tantrum or nothing. Nobody despises anybody in their heart, like we saw in verse chapter 13. Remember, Michael. So there we see the difference between the right attitude and the right spirit, and then the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit.
I feel like it's not.
Go ahead.
I feel like it's not just how the thought, because we all have a lot of things. Let's do this. Let's do that. When we're in the ministry, what can we do to draw people, and what can we do to minister to people? But it's what you do between that idea and the action itself. Having a idea, I don't feel it's a sin. But like, he had a good idea to move the ark, but he didn't ask God. Between having the idea and actually doing a thing, there was a consequence because he didn't. And so, but here, he didn't say, "I'm going to build a house for God." Hey, you know, call the people, and he just put the idea out there. It's something out where his mind and heart was. But, you know, I feel like what you do in between the action and the idea is key to where your heart is. And, you know, if God will bless you. Mm-hmm.
I think, too, it's important that, like you were saying, what you do in between that time. Because I think because God knew their heart was in the right place, and that they what they wanted to do something to honor him, that he came quickly with what he didn't want. He didn't let him start building and then say, "Who's over here to do this?"
He
came quickly with the correction.
Amen.
To Nathan. He said, then the boy, it came to Nathan, and Nathan also went quickly to tell David what God had said. So it just shows you, like you're saying, what when you are in the right spirit and you want the right thing, what you want is honorable, but you are open to hear what God says. Mm-hmm. It's not, "Well, I went, what's wrong with it? I want to do this. What's wrong with that? How come I can't
why
do
can't
it?
Why can't I do it?
Yeah, why can't I do it?
What's wrong with it?"
Because he told him before he asked why he couldn't do it.
That's where the problem lies in a lot of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we ask that same question, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with moving the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant? Nothing. But the method that you're using does not honor God because of how he said it's supposed to be done. "I want to build a house for God." What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. In fact, it's a great idea and it will be done, but it's not going to be you that does it. And just to show you that it's not a bad idea, tell David that his seed is going to be blessed. The one that he's going to bring forth is going to be the one to build the house, and his seed's going to be blessed. There's always going to be someone on the throne. All of these promises that come from what otherwise appeared to be a bad idea, because God said no. But what is he saying no to?
Him doing it.
Right. That was rhetorical, but that's correct.
So sorry.
What is he saying no to?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we have to look at. If God is saying no in a situation to us, what is he saying no to? We get so quick to have an idea, and if we hear no, if we're able to hear no over the fact that we have all this other stuff playing in our head, we dismiss the whole thing. Okay, well, it's nah. That's it. Attitude that a lot of folks take, and believe me, I talk to them every day. If they hear the word no, or an idea that what I'm putting forth won't go through like I see it, they dismiss the whole idea.
That's pride. Yeah.
Pride. But a man after God's own heart,
he
came up with something. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, David. But he had this idea. that something should be done. Mm-hmm. Had Nathan gone and said, well, let's see what God has to say about that. Mm-hmm. Then they would have seen, we're in link, we're in ties with God, we're doing it, we have the right idea, but this is how he wants it done. And it seems as though they didn't seem to learn from the lesson with the ark. When we talked about life applications, mm-hmm. it goes for prophets too. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nathan, you said what God said for you to say, but in this case, you didn't. But then God came and told Nathan, go tell David, he ain't gonna build it, the son gonna build it. And I've never complained about not being in the house. Let's get that straight. This is not something I've been crying out, begging for it to be done. I'm just looking for things to happen a certain way so that my will be accomplished. And he reminds us all this stuff. Did Nathan then say, now, this is just to mix it up a little bit. Prophets versus prophets.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Let's insert Jonah in a situation where Nathan is. Not to say that we know what Jonah would do, but just based on what we learned about Jonah. Do you see the same reaction?
Well, we got to ask some questions. Is Jonah like David? Is Jonah like Israel?
Jonah was a prophet, and he's going to tell the king something. In this situation, can we see Jonah delivering this message?
He might be, why can't he build a house for God?
He might be. No, I agree. I agree.
Same.
I feel like he would be questioning him, asking him, why is it not a good idea? And probably he would probably lead David to probably that end, saying, "Do it just because it's a good idea."
Mm-hmm. It seemed like a good idea to him,
right?
Yeah.
Jonah is a picture of the mistake that Nathan made in chapter 2.
Right.
Nathan made a judgment based on what he saw. What he saw was right, but he presumed to speak for God before he talked to God and got a word from mm-hmm. God. Jonah's problem was he does that to the max, because God will tell him what to do, and then he'll make a judgment about what God told him to do.
Right.
God said, tell these people to repent or they'll be destroyed. Jonah listened to that and said, these people don't deserve to repent and not be destroyed. I'm not going to tell them. And he went the opposite direction.
He ran.
So he's a picture of the mistake that Nathan made in chapter 2, but amplified.
Right. So, I mean, with Jonah, the way I see it is the reasoning that he would put forth. Mm-hmm. His logic. Mm-hmm. He's still a prophet.
Yeah.
But his logic gets in there. I think to compare this situation, it is kind of extreme to compare this with the situation in Nineveh, because there's imminent danger, and there's not so much danger for Jonah in this situation just having to go and change what he said. But when you look at how Jonah did, when he finally did what God said to him, mm-hmm. and the people changed, he got mad.
He got mad. It didn't go like he thought it
was. It didn't go how he thought it was. See, I knew he was going to be merciful to these people.
Look at
and
him.
And he goes, God like brings him a tree for shade, and then it goes, and he just weeps bitterly. Sitting on the outskirts of the city in hopes that they would somehow be destroyed.
That's awful.
Because I said that they would. Oh, how do I look to them? How do I look? Telling them you're going to destroy them and then you don't do it. That reluctancy that Jonah had, and still delivered the message. But what we're talking about now is the way he did, and his character as described in the book of Jonah, which I believe was probably written by the book of Jonah because of how it ended so abruptly, saying there's no closure. Maybe pride wouldn't let him write it. But the idea that he would take something that God says and analyze it first.
Before doing
what's being said. That's why I just brought it in, just kind of to mix things up. What Nathan did, Nathan didn't consult God, but when he got the word from God, he went back and changed. Like, okay. He said that he gave it in detail, just like God said it. Mm-hmm. And told David, let me tell you right away.
He didn't give me any disclaimers either.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, I told you something before.
Yeah, just came in and told.
This is what God said.
But you know what? That's funny because right here we're looking at the prophet of God and the king of God's people. They have a similar heart.
Yeah.
You look at how they, both of them, you make a mistake, bam, you do the right thing, right thing. As soon as you find out you're paying, do it. They didn't make a big deal about it. Oh, we're not going to, oh, I'm not going to build it. Okay. I thought I was going to build a house for God, but okay. So my son's going to do it? All right. He didn't go, well, which son? Or how long do I have to wait? Well, can I gather the materials? Can I make the treaties? And you know, God didn't want David for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And David accepted the reason because that's what God wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's how God wants us to be.
Yeah.
All right. He doesn't want us to, he wants us to be able to think about things. He wants you to be able to figure things out. But he doesn't want figuring it out to be a prerequisite for you to act.
Yeah.